Okay, so there's a famous story that's said over in this week's parsha. In the late 1700s, the Chida, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, was traveling in Europe to raise money for the yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael, which was very common. And when he was in Europe traveling, he met two guys that were in the kashrus business and the cheese business. And they wanted him to give hashkacha to their cheese company. And the Chida looked into it and he realized it's not kosher. And these two guys were not exactly the firmest of people, but they told him, either you give us Ashkocha, we're going to kill you. Mamish, you know, this is people in the Ashkocha business. Okay, we'll leave it at that. So the Chida had no choice, so he gives Ashkocha, and he writes on the letter that I hereby give Ashkocha to this company, and he writes the date, Yoim Beis Parshas Boy, this week's, last week's Parsha, and he quotes a very random pasuk, right? Normally when people sign their names on letters, or you see sometimes at wedding invitations, they'll quote a pasuk from that week's Parsha. So he quotes the pasuk, he signs his name, my name, right? Right? Parshas Boy, Masnechem Chagurim Nalechem. And that pasuk is talking about when they brought the Korban Pesach, they were holding their walking sticks and their belt. So that was the way he signed the letter. So the letter found its way to the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon read the Haskama, and he says to himself, that's a Haskama from the Chida. He reads the letter. He says to himself, the cheese is treif. He said, how do you know? So the Vilna Gaon thought to himself, what's a strange pasuk like that on a Haskama? So he looked in the Targum on that pasuk. The Targum of that pasuk writes, Chartzechon, which means your cheese, Yehoin Asirin, are prohibited. So the Vilna Gaon realized this whole thing was a hoax. So the Vilna Gaon shut down the whole project, shut down the whole program, and these guys were put in jail, whatever. So
the Targum saying there.
That's what the Targum literally means. It could mean Chartzechon, could mean cheese. Sometimes it means that. So great story from this week's parasha with the godless of the Chida as well as the godless of the Gaon. But in any case, the takeaway in my
had to look up the target.
He must. He was trying to figure out, like,
he had to know what to look.
Right, he had to know what to think. Like, what's a strange pasuk like that? It's a strange pasuk to put in that. Lamai says, I think the takeaway from this week's parasha is a very small balaturim, probably overlooked by many. The balaturim writes when the Bnei Yisrael were given the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, so it says the word mishku to schlep, to take. So the Balaturim writes, Mishchu is gematria shaloi min ha'aveira. Don't steal a Korban Pesach. So you think to yourself, that's like a really strange thing to tell the Jewish people. I think the answer is very often in life, people get very excited about something and they forget the rest of the Torah exists. You'll meet people like this. They're so excited, they're so fired up about something, so everything else becomes non-important. And the only thing that matters is this one thing. So the Jewish people is the first mitzvah. One of the first mitzvahs they got. So you would imagine they were very excited. So, you know, people often get very excited. They forget, you know, there's other rules as well. You know, how many times have people made decisions because, you know, I have to be here, I have to do this. We have a minion factory in our neighborhood where people, a minion will go every half an hour. How many people triple park because they have to go daven with a minion? They're causing a terrible chil Hashem, they're blocking in people. Davening with a minion. I don't want to bust a bubble, that's not a mitzvah deraisa, it's daven with a minion, right? But that's how we get very caught up. Someone called me the other day, he wanted to know, is he had a lot of law, and one of these things you have to fill out to get into somewhere. You know, he wanted to go learn with someone in a certain Beis Medrash. And that Beis Medrash, they made you fill out a questionnaire. Were you exposed to someone with COVID? And he grabbed it was. He wanted to know, is he allowed to lie so he can go learn with his chavrusa there? Hashem Yirachem, what have we come to as a people? We're allowed to lie so you can learn with your chavrusa where you want to learn with him? What's going on over here? This is a problem that we get so caught up. And this spills over into everyone's life. In the political world, you see, like, the ends justify the means. Because if you're doing something noble, that's it. The rest of the world can just fall to the wayside because you're doing something noble. So here the terrorists are reminding us, no, even if you're going to bring the Korban Pesach, I don't want stolen. It doesn't interest me. We live in a world of Robin Hood. Right? People think it's okay to steal from the rich to give to the poor, right? You steal from the government to give to the shul. You steal from the government to give to the yeshiva. The government is not something to steal from, and the yeshivas don't want your dirty money. So this is something that I think is like an intro to Judaism, that the Jewish people have to realize that the ends don't justify the means, and we have to make sure everything is done kedas or kedin. You got to take everything into consideration, not just one specific halacha and one specific area and one specific hakpada. We have to take everything into consideration. Okay, again, knock on the microphone. I don't know what's going on. It's the second we had this on Wednesday. Issues with the microphone. I don't know. I have to speak to the
tech. And there's a new laptop.
Yeah, I speak to the tech professionals in my house. Yeah, okay.
But that's
it. I don't know what's
going
on.
No, never mind that. Do you know how many times I stopped during the shir to call your wife and your daughter and then it came back on?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's the second time we had this. I don't know what it is. I have to speak to the experts. Okay, I apologize. Hopefully we'll
is anybody here good with
computers? Okay. Anyway, so we're starting a new Gemara, which is always exciting. But as we see, as much as we go further, we really go backwards. Because the sugars are all connected. In Ksubas, a lot of these blot, the sugyas are very much intertwined. But it's a new sugya, and it's a very exciting new sugya as well. So let's see. Zokti Gemara Gufa. Going back to the beginning. Omer Rav Chisda. Moidi Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Nechunya ben Akana agrees. Who is in Nechunya ben Akana? Nechunya ben Akana was the one who held that Chai Vekrisus also have Kim Lebed Rabmineh. We normally have Kim Lebed Rabmineh by Misa B'day Shemaim. So I mentioned this in the Parsha share that Achorayim have a Kasha from last week's Parsha. Why were the Mitzrayim punished twice? They had to lose all their objects and they also died in the Yam, so it should be Kim Lebed Rabmineh. That's a very cute question, but it doesn't seem to pan out with anything we learned in the Sugya. First of all, I'm not sure how it's Be'idna. Not sure that's at the same time. The pashtus is the money was back pay from when they worked the Jews 200 years ago. The Chiv Misa is probably now. I don't know. So one of the answers that he gave is because that Misa was Misa B'day Shemayim. And there's no Kim Lebed Rabmineh by Misa B'day Shemayim. That's a machlokes. We spoke about it. So I don't know. It's a cute kasha to talk about in the last week's parsha. I don't exactly see how it exactly is relevant.
Goyim doesn't play in.
No, so the Shitas HaTaisvus. They quote a Taisvus. Taisvus says there's Kim Lebed Goyim also. Yeah. Such a sheet of satisfies like that. So it's a cute question.
Have any power to give out
financial power, I guess, on some level. If they listen, if they're subjected to the rules of the nation where they're living, maybe I don't know. So that's just a cute kash from last week's parsha. But again, I think it's hard to work it out into the sugi. But in any case, from the Chonim Menachon holds that if a person's going to chalbi shechadei, a person steals the chalav of his friend. So chalav is a chayvi krisus. Chalav is a part of the animal you're not allowed to eat. So, regarding last week's parasha, again, it comes up a lot, right? We don't eat chalav. So, last week's parasha, the Jews had the mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach. So, on the Korban Pesach, there's an isser to leave over any parts. It becomes noisy. You're not allowed to leave over. So, the question is, did the Jewish people eat noisy from the Korban? Did they eat the chalav? Because they had no isser to eat chalav in last week's parasha. They did have an isser of don't leave over. So here's the question, this is exactly a great example of being from against the Torah. They had no mitzvah, they had no issur to eat, but they were machmir to keep the Torah, let's say, before the Torah was given, but they had a clear issur on the books, not to leave over. So if they're going to leave over the chalav, they're being from on one end, but being violating an explicit commandment later. So the assumption is they probably ate the chalav that year, because they had an issur to leave over, they couldn't leave over anything, so they ate chalav also. In subsequent years, we had a Torah, and then the Torah said not to eat chalav. But in any case, it's a part of the animal. It's a part of the animal. The fats of the animal.
Yeah,
we're not allowed to eat it. The Torah prohibited it.
But there's fat on all of it.
No, there's certain areas that you're not allowed to eat. So it's not, it's every animal has it.
It's part of the organs.
But the first year, before they had the Torah, so they didn't have an Isser, before they had, they didn't have an Isser Techelev, but they did have an explicit commandment in the Chumash not to leave over anything. So here's like that balancing act. If you're going to be firm on one hand, but it's going against an explicit commandment in the Torah. So the assumption is they probably ate Chelev that year. It wasn't also yet, so they probably did. So now we're not allowed to eat chalav, so it's chayvi krisus. So it says the Gemara, "Begoyin of chalav shechaveiroi v'ochlu." If a person eats the chalav of his friend, so a guy does two things wrong. He steals and he eats chalav, which is chayvi krisus. Like the Gemara, "Shu chayv, he has to pay." Shekvan is chayv b'gnei v'koydim shava de'isr chalav. So this Gemara should sound familiar to all of us because we learned it already. That's chazara. So the Gemara says that there's no kimle b'drami when you steal chalav, because when a person steals chalav, the chiyav mamonis starts earlier than the isr. The isr starts when he swallows it. The chiyav mamonis starts when he lifts it up, picks it up, which we'll get into a lot today. And therefore, it never happens b'vasachad, and therefore, there's no din of kimle b'drami. Now, right off the bat, this comment of the Gemara, there's a couple of auras. Some we saw already in the Rishonim, so we're not going to get into again. First of all, why does the Gemara have to talk about a case of Karis? The Chiddush of this Gemara basically is what we call Be'idna. That in order to have Kim Lebed Rabmineh, both the Chiyav Mamonis and the Chiyav Isra have to happen at the same time. So for the same price, the Gemara could have picked a case that's not Chayvei Krisus. Again, Chayvei Krisus gets us into trouble. Why? Because not everyone agrees that Chayvei Krisus has Kim Lebed Rabmineh. The only one who holds that Chayvei Krisus has Kim Lebed Rabmineh is Reb Nechunya ben Akana. So the Gemara said, I can find a case that even Reb Nechunya ben Akana holds that there's no Kim Lebed Rabmineh. But the point of this Gemara is really not to show me Reb Nechunya ben Akana's opinion. It's to show me that Kim Lebed Rabmineh needs to have Be'idna. So for the same price, the Gemara could have came up with a case that's not in the Krisus world. So why did the Gemara pick a case that's in the Krisus world? So we mentioned this already a few weeks ago from the Rishonim, because we wanted to show a Chiddush that even Reb Nechunya ben Akana, who's the most lenient about Kimlei, and he holds that even Krisus has Kimlei, even he has limits. And one of his limits are, you can't have Kimlei b'drabimineh if it's not Be'idna. That was the Chiddush of the Gemara.
Just for clarity, is Be'idna literally that second? Is it Tolk Kedei Dibor? Is it within an hour? I mean,
well, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get to a lot into today. But it's going to be, at least in this simple level of the Gemara, when a guy picks up the Gneva and then eats it, that's not Be'idna. The Gemara's going to talk about that. It should be. But the simple understanding is that's,
I mean, how much more Be'idna do you need? He picks it up and he eats it.
That's a big break. That's a large break already.
Really? First of all, 3 seconds. You pick it up, you put it in your mouth.
Lav Dafka, he does it that way. He picked it up, walked it home. And then he eats it in his own house.
No, but I'm saying, but if you pick it up and...
So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. The role of Hakba in all this. We'll get to that, Mamish. That's the new sugya today.
Just the top of my head. It's just the classic example of where you shoot somebody...
I was just going to say that.
Right, and he's wearing somebody else's shirt, right? So you tear the shirt because the bullet goes through.
Right.
But then the guy doesn't die until the next day. Right.
Yeah. So the question is, if you
chayav misa until the next day.
Well, again, you chayav misa for the action that you did yesterday. Just we didn't know that action had enough to kill him. Now, I wouldn't say he's chayav misa the next day. I say he's chayav misa when he shoots him. It's just that we don't know that gunshot had the ability to kill him until tomorrow. It's the same mice. I mean, he's mechayav for that mice shooting which took place yesterday.
Isn't that the basic case?
That is a typical case. We'll
right.
see.
So, but that happens at the same time. Isn't that where we get?
Right, right. That's why we know it. That's why we have.
Well, but that was the
machlokas.
We said that was the
actor. That's right. That was it. Right.
The misa doesn't take place until the next day. That's not the
hidden. Right.
But
so,
the column, correct.
Presumably, right. If you can assume that that gunshot, that Tosfos, right. We'll come back to a lot of what we took. Very good. Okay. So that's that. This part was review. Now is where things get interesting. Says the Gemara, Leima pligi de Rav Oven. Let's say Rav Nechunya ben Akana argues on Rav Oven. First of all, the Rishonim say, okay, so what? They're both Amoraim. Let them argue. Big deal. It makes it sound like the Gemara. We don't want to. The Gemara is a very, you know, it's like there's no argument. It's like there's no arguments in Gemara, right? Go figure that, right? But the Rishonim talk about this. Why is the Gemara so bothered by the fact that, let's say it's so. Let's say it is Machlokes. What's so Shlecht? It's a Machlokes. Okay, so generally speaking, we like to limit arguments. So the Gemara says, let's say that there is a Machlokes. Why? The Omer Rebovin, Rebovin says the following case. Hazari Chetz Metchilas Arba Lusayf Arba. Person shoots an arrow. Between here and four amos, the korish yiroim b'hali chasei, and in the middle of the arrow is in the middle of its path. It's 2.5 amos into the path, and there's a shirt hanging. Amoli used to hang the laundry outside, right? So a guy shoots an arrow, and the arrow didn't go 4 amos in the Rishas Rabim yet. It went 2 amos in the Rishas Rabim, hits the shirt, goes through the shirt, and finishes, you know, at the end of the line. So what happened over here? So the guy did 2 mices. He did one mice zrikas chetz, but this zrikas chetz had a nisa shabbos and a nisa mazik. Would there be kimle b'diram minute? So what's the problem? The problem is when he hits the shirt only 2 amos in, it's not a full malacha yet. He wasn't mavir dalar amos yet. He was only mavir beiz amos, and the malacha is 4 amos. So would there be kimle b'diram minute in that case? So Reb Oven says, in that case he's potter. He doesn't have to pay for the money. Why not? There's no kin lebed ram minay. So says the Gemara, a new yisoid. Shakira tzarech anochi. A new phrase. A phrase called akira tzarech anochi. Which we're not going to even get into now because we'll see like everything else that's machlokes b'shoinim. What are those words? Shakira tzarech anochi. So literally it translates that the akira, when you uprooted it, it needs to be placed. What does that mean? It means there's some connection between the beginning of the action and the end of the action. The hanocha is when the arrow rests at the end of the 4 amos. The akira is when I first shot it. So when I first shot the arrow, it goes 2 amos, it rips the shirt, then goes another 2 amos and rests. So al malacha shabbos, the malacha only ends at the 4 amos when the arrow rests. But since there's a connection between the beginning of the action and the end of the action, so somehow we can look like that moment is in between, is still lumped together with the chiyuv mis. That's the chiddush
one. When the arrow rests with a minimum of 4 amos.
Correct. When the arrow finally finishes its trip and it went at least 4 amos, so I can say that this entire picture was together, and therefore there's kimle b'diram minhag. So now,
isn't the phrase akira tzarech hanocha only dafka by carrying? Who says it goes by an arrow? You're not carrying. You shot it and it left, and you're done.
So we're going to see in a second the Gemara is going to have two lashonos to be magdir. When exactly do we say and don't we say akira tzarech hanocha? So that's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, Hachanami here also, Hagbo tzorech achilahi. Why don't we say that eating needs picking up? So the same way that you told me that you can connect the beginning of the shooting to the end of the shooting, because you can't have an end of a shooting without the beginning of a shooting, so why can I argue that in order to have an eating, you have to have a picking up? Well, I see everyone's heads ready.
No, isn't that more like Hanocha tzorech akira?
Okay, good. Why?
The other way around. Because you can't say that when I pick something up, it's as if it had come to rest. It's if something is not yet come to rest, obviously I had picked it up.
Well, it depends how we understand Akira Tzarech Hanocha, right? That's why I don't want to even get into it yet, because we'll see. So the Gemara thinks that Hagbo Tzarech Achil is the same thing. Why? Again, simple. How would you understand this? The way you have to understand it is that just like when I shoot the arrow, the shooting of the arrow is not the end of the process, it's the beginning of the process, but you can't have the end of a process without the beginning of the process. Right, that's what it means. Akira tzarech hanocha means the uprooting needs the end, which means you need to have 2 steps to have this process work. In order for an arrow to go dalan amos, it needs to have a shoot and it needs to a shot and a resting point. And therefore, as long as the chiyuv momenus was in between those 2 points, it's one big mice.
So if you shot an arrow on the moon where there's no gravity, mm-hmm. it never rests.
I mean, it still needs to go for Amos.
It still didn't go.
It would have to go for Amos.
No, then it does, but it never comes to an end.
It never stops. You don't need it to rest.
Basic case.
I just need it to go for Amos. I don't care, you know.
It has to come to rest.
It has to. No, it doesn't have to go to rest necessarily. It has to be. Well, it does.
It does.
It does. You need to have an Anoch and Rishus Rabbim also, right? Again, the Shalos, if a moon is considered a Rishus Rabbim, probably not anything. There's a big tumult in last week's parasha. Some of the Echorim talk about moon travel. Because last week's parasha, we had the mitzvah of Achodesh Ezelachem. So is there any Isser to go on the moon? So most Echorim say there's no Isser. It's terribly dangerous. So why should you go to the moon if you don't have to? Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset because right when they had the moon launch, so some decided to change the Kiddush Levana. What are we saying in the Kiddush Levana? Kishem Shani Reiki Kedegelach Ven Yochalim Gayabo. Just like I dance in front of you and I can't touch you. So what do you mean? The man went on the moon. So you have to change the whole davening. Oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik was not happy about that. He thought that's ridiculous. First of all, one of my talmidim pointed out to me, you can't actually touch the moon. If you touch the moon, your hand will blow up. You have to wear special gloves and this and that. So maybe that's what it means. In Yochel and Gaiba, I mean, you can't actually touch the moon. You have to wear gloves. I think our salvation said, no, the whole thing is ridiculous. Right here, we can't touch the moon. Sitting on here, when we're saying Kiddush Levana, we can't. When you go up to the moon, you'll talk about it, you say Kiddush Levana on the moon, which is Gansa Shaila. How do you do Kiddush Levana on the moon? It's never Hiskadish on the moon. The answer is we don't belong in these places. We belong here, okay? That's the answer. In any case, so yeah, the point of the Gemara is that Akir Tzarech Hanocha Kipshutoi means that this process needs each other, and therefore, if in order to shoot the arrow, I need the arrow to rest, in order for the arrow to rest, I need to shoot the arrow, so the entire process is one long ma'isa, and if the mumnus happens right in between, so I can put everything together. So for acting gemara, why don't you look at the same thing with eating? A person can only eat if he picks it up and puts it in his mouth. So why don't we say the same type of lumdus? Oh, that's the gemara's answer. That's going to be the gemara's answer. Right? That's mamash going to be the gemara's answer. Now, just for fun, right? Can we be machalic, very simple, between Shabbos and eating chalev? Shabbos has a malacha. The malacha has two parts, akira and hanacha. There's no such thing as two parts to eating chalev. There's one part, chalev going down your throat. That's right away a very big difference between the two cases of the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about Hilcha Shabbos. Hilcha Shabbos, there's rules. There's a malacha. The malacha has two parts to it, and therefore if you don't do two parts, you didn't do the malacha. But there's no such parts to chalev.
We're talking about that you stole the chalev.
100%.
So therefore that's the two isurim. You know, it's by Shabbos.
No, Shabbos, there's one Isser in Shabbos that has two parts to it. So we're connecting the two parts. But by eating chalev, which is the Misa part, there's no two parts to eating chalev. There's chalev go down throat. Simple.
And if you didn't steal it, you still can.
Exactly. And if you didn't steal it, you still have it. So we have to be masber better. We'll see some halakhic we're trying. But again, very superficial. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara answers, what are you talking about? Hachi hashta. What's the comparison? Hasam e'ef shala hanocha b'lo yakira. Over there, you can't have one without the other. But over here, you can eat without being makbiit. Why? You can bend your hand, bend down and eat it off the table. You can bob for apples, right? You don't need to pick up the food to eat it.
Right?
Now we finally see it. Now, the kash is how to learn this gemara. There's lechayre two ways to learn this gemara, which we'll see in the Rishayim. One way to learn this gemara is extremely lumdish. And the other way to learn this gemara is very practical. The gemara could be saying that when it comes to eating chalev, you don't have to pick it up to eat it. You can't do a hanocha of an object without an akira. That's impossible. An object can't rest unless it was first picked up. That's posh. No fancy Torah. Practice. Practical. Masha enke, when it comes to eating, you can eat without picking it up. That's one way to learn the Gemara. The other way to learn the Gemara is a lomdusha Gemara. The Gemara is saying you're missing the boat over here. The melachas ha-shabbos, e'ef shel akira ba'anocha means that in the hilcha Shabbos, they go together. Mashaykin over here, the boy gochem v'achol is just a raya that the isser of chalev has nothing to do with picking it up. Haraya that it can be over chelik without picking it up.
Because
it can be done means it's not a chelik of the Isser.
Just by moving an item, can't you push it, something that's on just wheels and it's not picking it up? Is that the same thing as picking it up?
So we're going to talk about Belina the next week. A big machoikish we should.
You just move it.
Yeah, but how's that going to get into your mouth?
We gotta get. No, I'm talking about moving something on Shabbos.
Oh, that would be awesome, right? That would be awesome on Shabbos.
But there's no akira, is what he's saying. I'm just kicking the can.
Akira doesn't. No, you're moving it. You're moving it. You're moving it for Amos.
You can't have a hanocha.
You moved. No, you moved it from point one to point B.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily have to be pick it up. It has to move for Dalet Amos. It has to move for Amos and Rosh Hashanah.
And
at some point, stop. Right. So we'll come back to this Gemara in a second. So let's just finish up. So the Gemara says, Inami, I'll give you another difference. Hasam iboi lahadure le'motzi mahadole. Once you shoot an arrow, you can't take it back. But hacha, but over here, matzim mahadole. But over here, you pick up the food, you put it right back down. No big deal. So again, is that a lumdish teretz, or is that a practical teretz? Daven zin. Okay, we'll see.
You can even spit it out.
Right. So the Gemara says, "My bein ikar bein haylishna lahaylishna." What's the difference between the two terrors from the Gemara? The first answer of the Gemara is that one I could do without picking up, and the second answer of the Gemara is one is I could undo once I did it. What's the difference? So yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
So the Gemara says, "My bein ikar bein hayu." Zok the Gemara, I'll tell you nafkamina. Hamavir sakin b'rishas rabim. Let's say it's not an arrow, but you're walking with a knife. You're walking with a knife, four amos in the shes rabim. V'kari shiroin b'halichasei, and you rip clothing with your knife. You're not careful when you're walking. You're walking, and you rip a guy's shirt. So says the Gemara, why is that an afkamino? Lahach lishna, according to the first teretz of the Gemara, the amit yefshal anocha b'le'akiro, that you can't have one without the other. Hachanami yefshal anocha b'le'akiro. Here also, again, unless I stop, unless there's a beginning and a stop, there's no rishas Shabbos over here. So it's the same thing like the arrow. But lahach lishna the amid lematzi mahadir. But if the pshat was is that once you shoot the arrow, you can't take the arrow back. Hacha matzi mahadir. Here I could take it back. I could just stop. Meaning I'm not in control anymore. An arrow, you're not in control. You shoot the arrow, you're finished. Here I'm in control. I can just stop. Pull the knife down. Drop the knife. Stop. Whatever I want to do. Okay. So let's go back. Okay. We're yet to learning enough Gemara today. Good. Right there. Now let's figure out what's going on over here. So the Gemara talks about a case where a person is Zayrik Chetz Mitchilas Arba L'Seif Arba. The guy ripped Zayrik Chetz. So the Isser Shabbos was what? Mavid Al Anamis. And the Chiv Mamanis comes from the fact that he rips a person's shirt. Frekta Achiezer, Frekta B'Chaim Moizer, number three. We'll see if B'Chaim Moizer has a kash over here. The same kash is found in the Sefer Afike Yam, which we're going to get to a little bit later today. Michael, who wrote Afike Yam?
Don't know.
Okay, don't feel so bad. The Afike Yam is a very classical Sefer studied in the yeshivas. The Afike Yam is written by Rabbi Yechiel Michal Rabinowitz. Yechiel Rabinowitz was originally a wealthy man. He had his own business. And after World War I, he lost his money, so he became a rabbi. Today it's the opposite. People become a rabbi to become wealthy. Okay. Back then it was the opposite. He was wealthy and he became a rabbi because he had no money. And he became very involved in the Baranovich Yeshiva. He lived not far from Baranovich, so he became very involved at the Baranovich Yeshiva, and he became a rav in a neighboring town, and Nebuchadnezzar was killed by the Nazis in 1941 with the rest of his kehillah. But he wrote the Sefer Afike Yam, he wrote it in two chalak, in Chelik Aleph and Chelik Beis. Actually, in the Maamar Kermis, we have one from Chelik Aleph and one from Chelik Beis, and they are written at very different points in his life. Chelik Aleph was written when he was working, so to say, working. Chelik Beis was written when he was already a rabbi. It was printed in 1935 when he was already a rabbi. The first Chelik came out when he was still learning full time, interestingly enough.
Which quality turns better?
They're different. Two chalakim of the sefer, but he was never killed with the rest of his killer in 1941 by the Nazis. So the Achiezer, Chaim Moizer, and the Afike Yam both had the same kasha. It's a very, very simple kasha. The Gemara is getting too complicated. What's the case of the Gemara? Person throws an arrow and he rips a shirt, so the mamon is on the shirt, and the misa would be on the what? The havar is dalamis. Effective Chaim Moizer, I don't get it. Why can't the misa be for being kireya? You're not allowed to rip things on Shabbos. There's an isser to rip things on Shabbos. I'm called kireya. So, frek the achrayim. Why are we handling about the dalaramis to get him on the dalaram? So we know that in order to be kireya, it has to be amanas litva. Over here, the guy probably was not amanas litva. But Rashi writes in Masechet Shabbos, and this is what the achrayim all write. That Rashi writes in Masechet Shabbos. Let's say a person does an act called mekalkel. Let's say he just does a destructive act with no purpose, no benefit. So the Gemara says he's patur mimiso, but we still say kim lebedravmine. We still say Kim Ramine. Why? Because it's no worse than Misa Shoigig. Just like when a person doesn't act where he doesn't get Misa because it was accidental, we say Kim Ramine. So Rashi says in Misach Shabbos, if a person doesn't act of Chilul Shabbos, he destroys something, but he doesn't, let's say for example, he burns down the house, not because he wants the afar, he doesn't want the ash. He does Tamzai and burns the house. So that's called a Makalkal. He's not going to get Misa, but he'll still have Kim Levit Ramine. Because at the end of the day, that's an act that normally would carry a Chiv Misa. So Frekti Achreinim, so the guy ripped the shirt. Ripping a shirt is an act that carries chiv misa. Karate, he doesn't need the shirt for, he didn't rip amanas to sew it back. So he's a makalkal, he's a destructive person. So destructive acts still have kimle. So why don't we get the guy over here, Frekta Achreinim, for the act of karea? Forget the havaras chetz. Forget the fact that it went dalal amas and shas ram. Let's get simple kimle. He ripped the shirt, and karea is a malach on Shabbos.
I thought the case is where he's almost like a
Misasik. Right, so I was thinking about that, Teretz, really that it could be he b'chlah had no intention to be a kireya. Yeah. He b'chlah, he shot the arrow, he shot the arrow there, and all of a sudden he didn't realize there's a shirt still hanging there. Okay.
No, Misasik is when
he... No, not a Misasik, but again, he would be a chayra, a shoygeg. He would, I don't know if I'm sorry, he'd be a shoygeg. But again, chayvik shoygeg, he'd still have kimle. Right, he'd be a shoygeg, right. You have to know, right, the question is, would he really be a misasik? Misasik means he don't know what was Shabbos, or he don't know, he knew he was shooting an arrow, he just didn't realize there was a shirt there. That's the chayvik.
Misasik would be that he didn't even intend to shoot
an arrow. Right. So he knew he was shooting an arrow.
So
So if you tear something on Shabbos with a purpose,
right, for a reason,
that's a smaller,
right, that's a malacha. This is the rice on Shabbos. Correct.
If you just tear it because you're not nice,
right? Well, the Gemara talks about kareya bechamasai. A person rips because he has anger management. So the Gemara talks about that. But that's more complicated. That might be considered a tikkun. Stam is a guy who rips because he rips, whatever reason
he
is.
He rips, right? So it's not because he had
any... Right.
Okay, but that's not a malacha?
That's not... Well, that's what we're going to get to in a second. That we would think, at least the Achrayim think of the kash, is in the category of makalkel.
That's not a malacha.
That's called the destructive. Right. I don't want to say that because that's the answer. I want to say that it's the malacha, but it's just a destructive version of the malacha, which there's no misa, but
we
still kimle.
But the same way we have shogeg.
Exactly. Meaning it would be, the Achrayim assume it's the same thing as shogeg, which means the act is all there, just they're missing some intent.
And the same thing with a fire, right? If
correct.
You don't intend to
that's burn. Right. If you're burning down a house, not because you want the ash, which most of us are not doing, right? Therefore, there'd be no misa, but there'd still be kimle, because that's an act that normally carries the death penalty.
What fire has an authority between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in Makalkel? Fire itself.
That's true. There are exceptions to Makalkel. I think Gemara has a certain exceptions when we don't say Tor Makalkel.
Right,
so but I'll just bring out the point of Makalkel.
Right.
So let's see number three. Zokter B'chai Moizer. Kushas Eze Mechabrim. Says B'chai Moizer, it's not my kasha. Many a mechabrim, many achrenim have this kasha. The sheet is Rashi b'babakam and daf lamed hey digam the kalka potem etam kibin raminei. Rashi sheet and babakam. I'm sorry, I said Shabbos. Rashi is in babakamo. Rashi says that mekalkel on Shabbos also has kim levi raminei. What does that mean? It means if a person doesn't act on Shabbos, which is a chilul Shabbos, but he doesn't do it for the right reasons. He just does destructive for no purpose, no te'elas. So the loch is he's not going to get misa, but he'll still have kim levi raminei. So for Ektub Chaim Moizer, Ubiksubas Lamaral, the Bezerik Chetz, Rikari Shirayim Balichosai. The Potter, Lifter Mitzad Kareya, why don't we get him out of Kareya? Why do we keep on talking about Shabbos? Why do we keep on talking about Havar? What happened to the Isra of Kareya? So Chaim Moizer says the same Yisai which is found in Afike Yam, and they come up with a Gavaldik Yisai. He writes, Lafide Bekareya Be'inan Shia Amanas Litvar, Ushaloy Amanas Litvar Loi Havi Malocha Klau, to Loi Havi Mishkan. Kareya is the exception to the rule. Kareya is not the pshat that if I rip it without the intention of sewing it, I'm doing the malacha, but in a destructive act. You're not doing the malacha. It's felt in the malacha. It's missing the actual malacha, because there's a Rashi in Shabbos. Rashi in Shabbos says that the only time they ripped in the Mishkan was Aman Aslitfer. They didn't stop as they ripped things in the Mishkan. The whole Maisa Kareya was only with Aman Aslitfer. So when you do it Shalom Aslitfer, it's not the pshat you're doing the malacha, but in a destructive way. You're not even doing the malacha at all.
Why was fire any different in the Mishkan? Was it different with fire?
Right, so so he's the thing went out. He's assuming again. This is again way beyond our sugya for today. He's assuming that in each malacha that is done in a makalkal way is still the way the malacha was done. Is just missing. Meaning, he's assuming that the tanai in each malacha doesn't make it the malacha. But by kareya, if you're kareya without the intent to be teifer, it's not even the malacha at all. It's a big chiddush. This is something you got to remember when you learn malacha Shabbos.
I think we paskin this way also. Because don't call me for sure, but I remember learning Melechus Shabbos with Rabbi Rosny. He said, let's say if you have a cleaner's tag on Shabbos, he says you're allowed to...
That's
you're on the
for other reasons.
That
that's
you're
for
allowed to take it
some
off.
Of that stuff you're allowed to rip for other reasons.
Right.
The question is what's subjected to Kareya.
Because it's not really Kareya, and it's not really Al Manas Litvar. You just took off the tag.
Yeah. It's still going to be us in the Rabbanon, at least. That's all Shabbos with toilet paper. Person gets stuck in the bathroom and there's no tissues. He has to cut toilet paper. What does he do then? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Lubavitcher Rebbe held that Teifer doesn't really exist on most of the paper that we rip. He was Michael. He thought it's not Bechlal. It's not really Teifer on paper. At least definitely not toilet paper. But most Achrenim are not like that. So what you do is you're supposed to leave it in the bathroom and flush the toilet. This way you're not being Teifer at the toilet, even though you flush the toilet. If you ever get stuck in a tight situation, that's what you're supposed to do. But that's a Shiloh of Teifer. So over there, you're not Kerei Amanas Litva. You're not ripping so you can sew back the toilet. You're ripping it so you can have toilet paper. That's what the place can write. Again, this is just an interesting insight. Again, if we were to learn Malacha Shabbos, this is something you have to always keep in mind. When you go through each Malacha, you have to figure out what is the real Malacha and what's the Mekalkel version of it. So that's the Achrenim's answer for our kash over here. That what? That when it comes to Kareya, if it would be done, Shalom Manas Litvar, it's not the pshat that you did the right Malacha just with the wrong intention. You didn't do the Malacha at all, and therefore the Gemara can't get you for Kareya. The Gemara can only get you for Haitza. Okay. Now, let's go back for a second. The Gemara made an analogy called Akira Tzarech Hanocha. What did Akira Tzarech Hanocha? The Gemara said, the reason why when I shoot the arrow, and the guy shoots the arrow at the line over here, it's got to go 4 amas. It goes 2 amas, hits the shirt, goes another 2 amas. So you'd say to yourself, there's no Kim Lebed Ramamine. Why? Because the Chiyav starts after it goes 4 amas. The Chiyav Misa started 2 amas earlier. So it's not Be'idna, it's not Kim Lebed Ramamine. Right?
Good question. Is it two separate... two amos, or is it one four amos? Because once it's interrupted by the...
It's not interrupted. It doesn't stop. It keeps going.
Well, it has to stop.
It rips right through it.
I know, but it's impeded, right? In other words...
I guess it slows down. I don't know if it stops.
What is our case? Isn't this the shrine he's wearing?
No. No one dies.
Then it hits him.
No, it doesn't hit anyone.
No
one gets hit by an arrow. This is easy. This is easy, right? This is easy. The guy shoots the arrow. There's no people. He's not killing anyone, which is always nice to hear. Right? Cool, clothesline. Yeah. Simple case. Shoots the arrow. It goes two amos, hits the clothesline, goes another two amos, then it rests. So the Gemara says, Kimle Dramine. Why is it Kimle Dramine? If you ask yourself, how could it be Kimle Dramine? The Chi of Mammon is started before the Chi of Misa starts. So the Gemara says, no, don't worry. There's a new chap called Akira Tzarech Hanoch. What does that mean, Akir Tzarech Hanoch? So we go back to Rashi for a second, number two. Rashi says, Akir Tzarech Hanoch, he ilkach. Ava gav the Chi of Mammon, mekame Hanoch asilei. Even though the Chi of Mammon is started before the Hanoch, before it hit the four Amis, right? Again, it hit the shirt two Amis in. The Chi of Misa doesn't start until it goes four Amis. So which came first? The Mammon is came before the Misa. Says Rashi, no. Ha yulubein akirav hanocha asyele misa v'tashlumin asyele. Since the between the akira and the hanocha, the midpoint, let's lush on the Rashi, is interesting. The in-between point between the akira and the hanocha came the misa v'tashlumin boin keechot. That's considered coming as one. Why?
Came the mammon.
Why? Shakira tzarech hanocha hi. Because akira tzarech hanocha umahishaita aschala melocha. At that time is when the melocha started. So according to Rashi, Akir Tzarech Hanocha means that the way we look at this malacha, as we don't say that the malacha doesn't finish, begin, till it hits the Dalai Lama. No, it starts the moment you shoot the arrow. So therefore, the moment I shot the arrow, the Chi of Misa started, and then it hits the Chi of Mammon, it's mid-route, in between.
Akir Tzarech Hanocha is a claw in an arrow.
That's what the Gemara is going to maybe tell us.
So you can't stop.
Because
it.
Because an arrow is something you can't stop, and therefore the beginning and the ends are by definition connected. Mashiach is something like walking, there's no connection between the beginning and the end. That's part of the Gemara's answer. Now, the Gemara then took this and jumped to a case of picking up something. The Gemara said, 1 second. If you say Akir Tzarech Hanocha, then the follow-up should be Hagbah Tzarech Achila. What's the connection between those two things? The Gemara says, 1 second, if you buy into this thing called Akira Tzarech Hanocha, then the next thing you should buy into is Hagbah Tzarech Achila. So the Gemara's answer was, no, Hagbah is not Tzarech Achila. Why? Back to Rashi for a second. The boy gochin, because if you bend your head, lamata megimel tfachim, v'ochel and you eat, u'batza megimel lav hagbahi. So Rashi says, no, I don't always have to pick it up, because I can always put my head on the ground, and I'll eat it off the ground, and I never made a Hagbah on the food. Now, we all know, it's very nice you didn't make hagbah on the food, but you might be carrying the food in your mouth with kinyan peh. Again, what are you trying to circumvent over here? Are you trying to circumvent the lumness, or are you trying to circumvent the physicality? Are you trying to show me that I can eat without picking up? Then the Gemara makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I can eat without picking up. But if the Gemara is trying to show me that there's no connection between the picking up and the isser, well, that's not necessarily so true, because once it's in my mouth, right, you're still going to deal with the kinyan in the mouth, which we spoke about, chotzer and other things, which we'll get to into next week.
So if you took chaylev on Shabbos and you walked 4 amos and then ate it.
Right, so the assumption would be is no. So if you'd walk the 4 amos holding the chaylev, so then there's no connection really between the eating the chaylev and the walking. But the case over here was that when you picked up, you eat it. So the assumption is there's a connection. You have to connect the two actions. That's the name of the game over here. So the Gemara thinks that picking up and eating is like one long procedure. Well, Gemara says, no, it's not one long procedure.
It's so different than the arrow, because the arrow you can't stop and you could stop walking.
Right, that's one answer the Gemara says. And the other answer the Gemara says is because you can never shoot an arrow, you can never have an arrow land without shooting it. But you can eat without picking it up. So now what does that mean? So let's see the Shidduch
Mekubetzes. And you could also pick it up and not eat it.
Oh. Very good. That's also true. Which is the biggest raya that Hagbah has no shaykhis to the Yisra Chalif, right?
But you can't walk down with Amos without starting with the first Amos.
That's the walking, but that has nothing to do with the Chalif that I'm going to eat. So let's see the Shidduch Mekubetzes over here. Number four. Zok the Shidduch Mekubetzes. Shakir Tzarech Hanochi. He's going on the beginning of the Gemara. What does it mean, Akir Tzarech Hanochi? So Rashi said, Akir Tzarech Hanochi means that you can't, that we connect the beginning and the end as one big mice. Says the Shidduch Mekubetzes.
Akir is lifting.
Akir means to uproot. Literally, Akir means to uproot. So over here, we mean the shooting of the arrow is the uprooting of the arrow, and then the resting of the arrow when it finally drops. Says the Shidduch Mekubetzes. L'chayra mashma d'hochi kama. Sha'akira ha'yitzarech hanocha. What does it mean, Akira tzarech hanocha? Why? D'beloy akira i'efshir she'yichayiv ala hanocha. The Gemara doesn't mean physically. The Gemara means halachically. you can't be chayiv unless there's an akira with a hanocha at the end. Va'akira va'hanocha hin beiz gufe hachiv. That's how the Shita learns that line of the Gemara, Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Akira Tzarech Hanocha, he means that you can't be chayiv for Havaris Dalai Lama's Mishnah Rabbim unless you have an Akira and a Hanocha. Therefore, it's one long process. That's how we understood the Gemara. Now, if that's Pshat in the Gemara, what's so the obvious kasha? So what's the Hemshech of the Gemara?
Yeah.
The kasha, the imke, my boy lema, pligi the Rav Oven. So what does that do with Rav Oven's case? You just told me that when it comes to Melech Shabbos, there's two parts to the Melecha. There's Akira and the Hanocha, and they go hand in hand. What does that do with picking up chalev and eating it? What's the connection there? Says the Shita of Haravin, Varavin Gufa Gila Time Dim Shumhaki Ain Lainya Hud of Chizda Klaw. The Shana Hid of Chizda, the In Chiyuva Shachelev, Elamne Achila Bavat. When it comes to Chalev, the Isra of Chalev is one Isra, eating Chalev. There's no Isra to pick up Chalev. But when it comes to Shabbos, the Isra is made up of two components, Akira plus Hanocha. You don't have that by Chalev. So why does the Gemara think that Akira Tzarech Hanocha should have any connection to the case of eating chalev?
By the way, chalev is not like tarfus. In other words, there's only an isser of eating. It's not like selling it, touching it, you know, doing...
No, there's no isser. No. It's only by Basa B'chav there's isser Hanocha. Chalev is a pshad, you can't eat it. So when the Gemara says, well, when I picked it up, I needed to pick it up to eat. Why do you need to pick it up to eat it? Bishlama, when I say Akira Tzarech Hanocha, that's because in Hilcha Shabbos, there's a thing called Akira and there's a thing called Hanocha. So the two things are connected. But there's no such thing like that in Hilchas Chalev. There's a connection between how you get the food down your throat. We get the food down your throat. Who cares how? So says the Shita, Elam Neachil Bovar, Aval Zarik Mischai Vaidi Akira Anocha. V'yeshloim Adahochi Perusha. So he says, one second, that can't be Pshat in the Gemara. If Pshat in the Gemara, says the Shita, would have meant Akira Tzarech Hanocha means that I need to begin, that in Hilchas Shabbos, the throwing and the resting are all part and parcel of the Maisa. And therefore it's one big Maisa, and that's why I'm Chayiv, that's why I have Kimlei. How do you apply that to picking up Chalev and eating it? There's no din when picking up Chalev, that part of the Isser is picking up Chalev, and the other half of the Isser is eating the Chalev.
Sheet commences
to
saying that doesn't flow correctly.
Right, correct.
So how's that again?
The sheet is trying to understand what was the Gemara thinking to say that the same way Akira Tzarech Hanocha, we should say Hagbah Tzarech Achila with the Chalev. The reason why Akira Tzarech Hanocha are connected because in Hilchas Shabbos, there are two parts of the Melacha. But when it comes to eating Chalev, there's no two parts to eating Chalev. There's the Isser eating Chalev, and there's the picking up the Chalev. There's no such picking up Chalev. There's no Isser called picking up Chalev. There is an Isser called uprooting an object while rest and then resting it 4 hours later. That's part of the Melacha of Shabbos. So if I have one, I can't have the other, therefore they're connected.
So but what, he's saying that Rav Avin is not being, is not arguing about this. The case is
exactly. So what was the Gemara thinking? Exactly. So what was the Gemara thinking when the Gemara wanted to compare these two Gemaras? So therefore, says the Yeshua, the Hachi.
I don't understand the whole thing. Why didn't the Gemara just say in the first place, what does Shabbos have to do with Chalev?
Because again, this is the flow of the Gemara. If
it's all about Kimlei, though.
It's all about Kimlei, but the trick over here is what the words Akira Tzarech Hanocha mean. If Akira Tzarech Hanocha means physically that you can't rest unless you picked it up, so then I can hear the argument, you can't eat unless you pick it up. And the two things are connected. The same way I connected the beginning to this end, I connected the picking up to the eating.
But when's Ligabi Shabbos? You need to have that in order to be over.
Made alumnus. I kept it very simple. I said not. I didn't say anything to do with Hilchas Shabbos. I said Akira Tzarech Hanocha means that you can't rest an object unless you picked up the object.
As far as carrying
the
child.
No, as far as physically. You can't have something be rested if it wasn't moved first. It's not a lomdish of art. You're making it to a lomdish. I'm not for lomdish. Simple. That the God, Akira Tzarech Hanocha means that in order for an object to rest, it needs to be uprooted. Memela, this is one long process. Not because of Hilchas Shabbos, because by definition.
I don't get it.
Can an object rest if it wasn't picked up?
That I understand, but I'm saying, but how do you compare it by Shabbos? The whole thing is that you're also out Shabbos, and therefore you have Kimlei Mitzvah.
You're assuming.
Here you don't have it.
No, you do. If you can tell me that every eating chalev is a process, it's not just eating chalev, it's how the chalev gets into my mouth, so it's one long process.
No, but Ligabi, anything else, I don't care how it gets into my mouth.
But again, I'm talking about in practicality. We do care. The same way we care that the uprooting it was relevant for the resting, so I'll tell you the uprooting of the food was relevant to get, how else is going to go down my throat? It's not magically going to appear down my throat. Hmm. So says the Shita Mekubetzes, if that would be Pshat in the Gemara. Wait a second. So the Shita Mekubetzes is assuming the Lomdusha version of the Gemara. He's assuming that, like Michael assumed, that the Gemara's assuming is Akira Tzarech Hanocha is in Lomdus. That what? Since the Melacha of Shabbos has two parts to it, and you can't have the Melacha without the other part, so when you do the first part, and then you do later the second part, it's Ki'ilu, you did one big Maisa, and therefore it's all beautiful Kim Levi Ramine. So what's the obvious Kasha? What does that have to do with the case of Chalev? So because of this, the Shita changes the whole pshat in the Gemara. Says the Shita of Yeshua.
Why didn't you say that while you could certainly withdraw the Maisa when I ended up picking it up and eating it, so it turned out to be one Maisa? It's true, it's different than an arrow where I can't retrieve
but
it.
That's the point. But it's not the Maisa. That's because you made
it up and I ate it with the Mafreya. I took it in order to steal it.
Now, the question is, what makes something one Maisa? It's something is one Maisa because by definition it has to be like that. You just made it that way practically. The Gemara thinks in order to be one Maisa, it has to be that way, structured that way, either by always, the Torah or always, yeah. Right. Okay. Your way would be 9 out of 10 times, but not always built in. So what does the Shita do because of this Kasha? He says, V'yeshloi medachi prush, you got to change the whole Gemara. Sha'akira tzarech anachi, nesh tzarech anachi hu sha'oikir. He says, no, don't be so lumdish. The Gemara doesn't mean lumdish. The Gemara means practicality. That's what the Gemara means. Why? Umahi shaita aschale malacha pirish ma'ase choishev la'aseis b'soif dan lanuach mishas akira aschale da daite la'akar kedei lanuach. The Gemara just means that the way we look at things are, we look in the future. When you do something now based on what you want in the future, we look at it as if it happens now. So akira tzarech hanocha means that since when I pick it up, my intention is to eventually have it rest for amos. So even though now it didn't yet rest for amos, it's ki'ilu, it's already resting. Not lomdis, not hilcha Shabbos, lomdis. Practicality. Akira tzarech hanochi is a svara. What's the svara? Is that when I do something now, because I want an outcome later, so it's ki'ilu, it all happens now. Simple. So,
and that's why if it hits the laundry line, the clothing, because it's all part of
it's
that.
It's one big maisa.
Even though you didn't have the hanochi.
Correct. But since when I pick it up, I have the intention. So now, if that's the pshat, says the Shita, so now I understand the flow of the Gemara. This is not a Shabbos thing. This is a practicality thing. Therefore, hachanami kol machshavti hu le'echol tzarech achilas u'magbia. So then the flow of the Gemara is very good. What's the flow of the Gemara? The Gemara says, so therefore when I pick up the food, most people pick up the food to put it into their mouth. So therefore when I picked it up, it was the intention to put it down in my throat. So that's also, we can also make it one big mice. Good. So what did the Shita do? The Shita had one way of learning the Gemara, and then he changed his pshat in the Gemara because he thought that the Gemara doesn't flow. And now, according to him, what was the answer of the Gemara? The answer to the Gemara is they're still not similar because throwing it is by definition one action because you can't take it back or because the Gemara said or because it's impossible to split the two. But you could eat without putting it in your mouth. That's a raya that they're not intrinsically one action. So that's the way the Gemara flows.
So it only applies to the shooting.
I'm sorry? Correct, because by
shooting,
right? Because by shooting, by definition, every shooting is one act.
Because you can't
retrieve it, or because the other svar of the Gemara. So, what was the flaw of the Gemara according to the Shita Mekabetz? The flaw of the Gemara was like this: the Gemara thought that Akira Tzarech Hanochi. The Gemara thinks Akira Tzarech Hanochi has nothing to do with Melacha Shabbos. It's a svara. The svara is that when I do an action that has a second part to it, when I start the first part with the intention of the second part, it's as if the whole process starts now. Therefore, the Gemara thinks, let's not just use it here. Let's apply it to other things also. Let's apply it to chalef. Because most people pick things up with intention to eat. So therefore, when I picked it up, that now becomes part of the action. The Gemara says, no. By chalef, there's no connection between the eating and the isser. Why? Again, not in lumdus, in practicality. Why? Because the boy, because if I want to, I don't have to put those two things together. David said, 9 out of 10 times people do. Good. 9 out of 10 times people do. But because I don't have to, it means by definition, it's not one big action.
But
by an arrow, it always will be connected.
Right, but the problem is with the arrow, you're starting the Isser Misa. With the picking up, you've done the Geneva. So you've already done...
So that's the problem. So that's the problem we'll see. Reb David Pivarsky is bothered with is that at the end of the day, whatever lumdus you want to say, there is no Isser to pick up Chalef.
Right.
There's no Isser to pick up Chalef.
Well, this is the stealing.
Yeah, but we're not getting you for the stealing.
We need a Kimlite case.
I understand, but we have to connect the stealing to the eating. So you stole, good.
Right.
But at that moment when you stole, you did nothing to do with the Misa.
So you're saying it's right. Idna because you're picking up Isna.
Right, right. His far, the reason why it's Idna is because when you pick it up and you become a Ganif, that's right when you start the Issa Chalef. Why did that start the Issa Chalef? So the Kasha, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash, Usser to take Chalef.
The whole thing can never be explained that other than it's... They're disconnected. There's no isser until it's...
Exactly.
Akira starts an isser.
Whoa, that depends how you learn the Gemara. If you're going to learn the Gemara the lomdish way that Akira Tzarech Hanochi because that's part of the Isser Shabbos, so then the Gemara has... That's the sheet.
But if they're doing it practicality...
If it's practicality, then we can talk about it.
So according to this... Right, so according to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier to turn my head this way.
No, he's older.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. So
we have vaccination cards. We're going to ask for an ID how old you are. Okay.
So if, let's say, you steal something from somebody.
Yeah.
but you don't make a kinyan on it.
Right.
Let's say, for instance, the guy's food is sitting on the table. It's his. And you go ahead and stick your face into it and eat it. You're not chayv.
So one second. So that's what we need to get to next week. That might be kinyan peh. What happened to kinyan peh?
Right. So therefore, if it's kinyan peh.
Well, good. So that's what we're going to have to see. When the Gemara says the boy gochin, the Gemara seems to be saying that's the way Rashi learned the Gemara.
That's what I'm saying. So therefore, Memela sort of saying by Chalev, when you see, even if, yeah, according to the Gemara, even if you stuck your head into it, you still, there's
no, but, still but the point time. Of the Gemara was, I don't need to be oive Chalev. Akiva Tzarech Rachamim is the only way to connect these two processes is by starting the throwing. I don't need to pick it up to be over for chalev. Haraya, right. I could eat this way.
Right.
Therefore, I don't need. You can't tell me every time I pick up gneva and put it in my mouth, it's one big process.
So, Rabbi, practically speaking, if I roll a bowling ball right down the road,
yeah,
and at the 2 amos mark, it hits someone's pot,
mm-hmm,
breaks the pot, uh-huh, and then keeps rolling, mm-hmm, 2 more amos.
The exact same case as the gemara.
Well, that's different than the arrow because.
Well, you can't take it back.
I could have stopped it.
You mean you can stop the ball in the middle?
Stop the ball in the middle.
Moila
Dure. It's irretrievable. Uh-huh. Once it's in the air.
So you argue it's not Matila. It's Matila Dure.
But there's a difference.
Could be.
David, the sea tops the touching the moon.
Could be.
Anything that I can stop before it reaches 4 hours.
L'chayra. Yeah, I guess so.
It's not part of the. It's not correct. One big act.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Only
that's one teretz of the Gemara. I mean, that would mean the Gemara could have gave that an afkamina. Instead of the afkamina, the Gemara gave where a guy's walking with a knife. You want to tell a guy rolls a ball,
right? And the point
and he
being,
can retrieve the
point
ball in the middle.
Is that it's that when you correct. Say it's by definition, it's inherently part
that's right.
of the malacha
that's
is
right.
that it will have to go 4 amos. It cannot be
you can't
stopped.
Control it, right?
But everything else can be controlled. You can either eat it differently
or stop walking
or
with a knife.
Stop rolling it.
Well, if you have the ball in, so you're saying the ball in root is considered like a chetz. Could be.
No, it's not.
It's not like, I'm sorry, it's not like a chetz. It's matzila adure. Okay, yeah, right. It sound right.
Yeah, but David, how are you going to stop it if you roll faster than you can run?
It's possible to stop.
So it turned out, I was like, over this round, so he helped me, prevented me from doing the Dalai Lama.
This is better than the
Mishnah. He made the Hanukkah.
It's 90 mile an hour fast.
It stopped.
It comes in. No, somebody actually interrupts it.
Right, so it didn't go Dalai Lama.
So it didn't go to Dalai Lama.
Not over, right.
So then not every mice of shooting, where it's Hanukkah, Tzricha, Akira, Tzricha, Hanukkah, it will necessarily happen there also.
You stop me arguing that you're really arguing on the Matzil Aduri point. You're saying you could stop an arrow.
It's retrieval made by somebody else because somebody could go with it.
Or you're hitting
the question is how old.
Right, all right. I guess the assumption of the Gemara is that once you leave go of the arrow, you can't bring it back. You can't get that arrow back.
Why does that matter?
Because when I made my Akira, right, my Akira was destined. Definitely where the Shita was learning. Right, the Shita was learning that my pshat was I made it with the intention to go 4 amos. Because once I knew I shoot it, you know, I'm done with it. That's what I'm shooting at the ball. If you can run fast enough to catch the ball, you know.
The last question is: you got to go. You throw a boomerang.
Comes back.
And at three almost, it comes back. So it never actually traveled
4 hours.
And you're fine.
That'd be good. Right. Right. And then went Dalai Lama. It'd be good.
Now you have an activity.
He's on fire today. The
that'd be very
ball
good.
Ball
that'd be
ball
very
ball
good.
Boomerang.
I wouldn't go Dalai Lama.
So
that's it. Now you know. There you go.
Ryan has to be 4 hours in one direction. It can't be 4 and then.
I don't know. It goes 3 and then comes back 1.
Didn't go
and then went 4 almost. I don't know.
He retraced his steps.
I think we're getting everyone excited to learn Masech HaShabbos now. Okay.
There's a spari here that's saying, in any Zrika, there's Hanukkah is assumed
or like
occur,
it is,
even if
you know,
it does.
It's assumed because correct. By matzif shehusham, the status that we're in, it's anticipated that it's going to happen.
So even if it does get stopped in the middle, would you be chayav?
No, the mice at the end of the day, if it doesn't go down.
No, but for here, in terms of kimle, right, we'll assume it's going to happen.
So when I shoot, when I start, when I pull back and it goes, so that's it's ki'ilu, it went 4 amos.
For kimle.
For kimle ram, right. Even though it may not. Right, right. Right. So what do we have over here? So according to the Shita Mikubetzis, the Gemara's lumnus of Akir Tzarech Hanocha is what? Akir Tzarech Hanocha just doesn't mean Hilcha Shabbos. Akir Tzarech Hanocha means practically. Practically, you need to lift something up in order for it to rest. And therefore, says the Shita, when I shot it, I was thinking that it should go 4 amos. And therefore, I connected the beginning to the end. So the Gemara thinks saying the same thing about the Chelev. The Rajba learns the Gemara differently. Again, you could call this a Hakira. You understand? We'll see it's really Machoikis between Ubchayim and Afikiyam, but it's really Machoikis Rishonim. You say Machloekes Rishayim, no one is all that excited. You say it's Machloekes Achareinim, everyone like perks up. Oh, Geshmak, Machloekes B'chaim, B'kiveg, Gevaldik. But it's really Machloekes Rishayim. Let's be honest. It's Machloekes Rishayim. According to the Shita Mikubetzis, what does Akira Tzarech Hanocha mean? Akira Tzarech Hanocha means, it's not lumnish, it's practical. When I have a process over here that has two parts, a beginning and end, so when I start the process, I have das for the end of the process, it's kiyu, the whole process happens now. That's akir tzarech hanoch, which the Gemara says that should be similar to when you pick something up and eat it, to which the Gemara says, no, that is by definition one, and this is not considered one process, either because you can bend down or because of other svaras.
I may pick it up and not eat it.
Right.
But if I do, that's evidence of the fact that for you, in that instance, it was one.
Right, right. But the Gemara's point is that since I could get around that by eating, by bending down my head, that's a proof that it doesn't have to always be considered one big act.
It doesn't have to be. But in that instance.
Right. So the point of the Gemara is it's not like a case of the arrow, where the arrow is always will be one mice. That's the way the sheet is going to learn the Gemara.
The basic thing is that akir tzarech hanoch means that once I started, it's automatically going to finish.
And therefore, it's ki'ilu, we consider it as if the whole process is now. So again, why is this negate to us? Because when the arrow was only midway, it didn't yet hit Dalarama. So how can I be chayiv for Shabbos? The answer is because I'm chayiv now from the get-go, assuming it will get there, obviously. If it doesn't get there, you're not chayiv. Because this is already the beginning of the process. The whole process takes place in this opening line. Says the Rajman number 5, a different shot. He says, Alohocha ikra de mil saloyma, da hagbozu eina tzarech achil klal. When the Gemara answers that you can bend down your head and eat off the floor, what is the point of the Gemara, Dr. Rajbo? The ochle b'loy hagbo, k'goyin she'toch of los achel b'kush, the gochin, the benechtav achel v'beis b'liyosay, the Gemara is more, he has more creative case. Let's say someone sticks it down your throat for you, or you eat it off a stick. Let's say the chel is standing on a stick, and you go over the stick, and then it goes into the back of your throat. I didn't touch anything. That's even better than peh. And then it does, maybe there's no kinyan peh till it gets to the back of your throat.
But then what's the difference between that and laying on the table?
Because there you're going to have to be using kinyan peh. Here, it goes to the back of your throat. It goes all the way to the back of your throat and never goes through your mouth. We'll get to Blinada next week, hopefully. He says, "De'ein chiyuv achila toloi ba'agbo klal," because the isur achila has nothing to do with picking up the food. Masha enkin b'zayi chayitz the efshel lechayiv mavei mershus l'mershus b'lo yakira v'hanocha oy derech havara oy derech zvika. As opposed to havaras d'alaram is, the pshat over there is that the isser does not start to become a problem unless you do A and akira, B and hanocha, and C it goes d'alaramis. So what's the Rajba really saying? He's saying the other pshat in the Gemara. He's saying that the Gemara is assuming akira tzarech hanocha is not physically and practically, but it's lumbish. Akira tzarech hanocha means that you can't be over Shabbos unless you have an akira and a hanocha. Masha enkin, when it comes to chelev, there's no such din in chelev that you're not over for chelev unless you pick up chelev. It doesn't exist. Therefore, he says, therefore, when I pick up the arrow, that's already the beginning of the melacha v'itzah. But when it comes to eating, it probably should be loy chayiv. She'en achiv elo ba'achilu levadoi. Says the Rajbo, you misunderstood akira tzarech hanocha. He's the exact opposite of the shita mikubetzes. The Rajbo learns akira tzarech hanocha means that when in Hilcha Shabbos, in order to be chayiv, you have to have an akira and you have to have hanocha. Therefore, when I do the akira at 10 o'clock and the hanocha happens at 10:02, akira was part of the melacha. Because you can't have one without the other. Not because of physically, because in Hilcha Shabbos, you need to have an akira and hanocha. But when it comes to eating chaylev, chelev is not like that. There's no din that you can only over for chelev if you pick up chelev. The boy gochin v'achol is not a practical nafkamina. It's a lomdish nafkamina. Since if you picked up the chelev with your mouth, you'd be over chelev. What does that show me? That the issa chelev has nothing to do with picking up chelev. Yes, it's a lomdish difference. The first way to learn the Gemara is learning akir tzarech hanocha means practically. The second way the Gemara is learning from the lomdish of the melacha. Akir tzarech hanocha means in Hilcha Shabbos, one needs the other. And says in Hilcha Shabbos, one needs the other, therefore, it's one long melach. Now, what's the difference in the flow of the Gemara? If you learn the Gemara that way, so what was Rav Avin thinking about asking from Chalif? That's exactly the Gemara's answer. When the Gemara answers, the boy gochen v'ochel, you know what the Gemara's answer is? You made a very bad comparison. Because Hilcha Shabbos, there's a din called Akir and Anocha, and one without the other is not the melach. But
the Gemara then.
Well, that's good for the Gemara's answer. According to the Rashba, that was the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer was the boy gochin v'ochel meant that not because physically I can eat it without picking it up. I don't care about physically. It's showing me in lamdis the chiyuv has no connection.
The real answer, and in the
Rashba,
it's saying there was no kasha.
Correct. The difference between the sheet and the Rashba is at one point that we realize they're different.
But isn't the lamdis based on practicality?
Not necessarily. Akira Tzorach Hanocha is the din of Hilchos Shabbos. Now you want to, you're right, probably, that the reason why it is that way is because
you can't have one without the other.
Agreed. But
in Lamaisa, you cannot have.
Right.
You cannot move something Dalet Amos unless it starts at,
correct,
at Amma 1 and it ends at Amma 4.
But the question is why? If you say it's because in Hilchos Shabbos that's the way it was structured, then the Gemara makes no sense. How do you compare that to Chalif? But if you say it's because of a physical, like you're saying, then the Gemara is beautiful.
Because you need to pick up to eat. I would say that whether it's Lumdus or whether it's practical,
why?
Chalif also does it. Because the Isra of Chalif is irrelevant to how it gets into your mouth.
That's exactly what the Gemara answers.
But that's physically and it's Lumdus.
That's right. So again, the Iboi Gochen V'Ochel. No, no, but Iboi Gochen V'Ochel is going to mean the same thing according to everyone. Iboi Gochen V'Ochel is either going to be a raya that they don't have to be connected physically, or it's going to be a raya that there's a fundamental difference between Malacha Shabbos and Malacha and the Isra Chalif.
I understood the Shittim of Begetzis, as the Rashba said it. That's one long Maisa.
Yeah.
That's how I understood it when you said it.
In the physicality?
It begins here, it ends over here, but it's one Maisa.
And that was, there,
that
and that's what
it.
No, no.
I thought the Rashba actually said it maybe.
That's true.
The Malacha has two parts.
That's the way the. That's
Chalif
the
only has one part.
Exactly. The question is, so what was the Havamina of the Gemara? When the Gemara opens up with this line, Akira Tzara Chanocha, what does the Gemara mean? So either it means physicality, or it means in Hilchos Shabbos. If it means in Hilchos Shabbos, so how do you read the next line of the Gemara? So therefore, either the Shita changed his tune, or the Rashba stuck to his guns and said, no, that was good for the Gemara's answer. Okay, two ways to learn the Gemara. Now, why are we making such a big deal about it? Because this is going to be the two different ways of looking at what does it mean at the beginning of the Isser. Do we say Akira Tzara Chanocha means... Okay, the Gemara is not throwing off Akira Tzara Chanocha. The Gemara is just showing Akira Tzara Chanocha only makes sense on Shabbos and doesn't make sense by Chalif. Now, Akira Tzara Chanocha, according to one version of the Rishonim, means that the Malacha of Shabbos has two parts, and therefore when you do part number one, we look as if you did the whole part. Now, if you look over in number 6, Reb David Pivarsky is still troubled. After all the Rishonim, he's still bothered. He says, I don't get it.
If you say that, what you just said,
yeah,
then are you Chayiv even if it ultimately doesn't get to the fourth Amma?
The answer is no. But
if we look at it as if you're
that's presuming that everything goes as planned. And what we will
that
talk
applies in Lundus, then it applies in practicality also.
Correct. That is true. Now what we will talk Lineda next week about, that's on the next page, is a very serious thing of machloikis between Reb Chaim and Reb Kiveger and other Achronim. What happens if the object shoots and it doesn't rip in the middle of the Dalet Amos? Mm-hmm. It rips at the end of the four Amos.
You mean past the four Amos?
Yeah, it goes past. It hits at the sixth Amma mark. What happens then?
Yeah, but no, 1 second. Hold on. Is the four, hold it. Is the four shot
before the Hanacha? It's before the Hanacha. It never had a Hanacha yet. So you're still going to tell me, Akira Tzara Hanacha, we put everything together?
When it passes the Dalet
Amma. When? But it doesn't rip yet. It doesn't rip till the sixth Amma mark.
Yeah, but who cares? In other words, four is maybe a limitation.
Okay, good. Without missing.
Four is just a minimum. Right, four gives you the Isser.
It was just the minimum. But is it Isser if it didn't have the Hanocha?
Didn't have the Hanocha yet until it...
Yeah, right. There's a sheet that says in Rishus HaRabin we don't need a Hanocha anyway.
That's true. Okay. So we'll get to that Blinah the next week. But let's just finish up over here, number 6, with Dov Bavarsky. Eldel L'chayr Tzarchin. The L'chayr calls a Rak, Shaykh Rak, B'mais Avir. He says he still is troubled by this comparison to Chalif. By Shabbos, we could talk about Akira Tzara Hanocha because there's something called the Maisa Avir. There's a Maisa Isser, which is a Akira, Mita Hanocha, we combine everything together. When it comes to Chalif, there's no such thing called the Achila. It's the Hanocha, the pleasure you get when it goes down your throat.
Is that true? Where does he get that from? What do you mean?
Chalif
isn't the Isser eating it?
Well, that
who says it's the Hanoch?
So we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. We cleared the Shaila. Right, do you need a Maisa Achila for Macholos Asuras? Do we care if it's a Maisa Achila? We just care about Shenen.
No, but what are you over?
The Hanoch that you get when it goes down your throat. That's the Hanoch. How it gets down there and how you make the Hanoch?
You were asking a different type of
Hanoch. Like no, the point is that we don't care how it happens.
When then or not?
Everything until it gets down your throat is completely irrelevant for us.
No, I'm just saying in general, what's the issue?
When you hear the word Hanoch, you think it's pleasure.
What he means over here is that nothing happens until it goes down your throat. Everything till then is irrelevant. It being in your mouth, being down, around your mouth, in your mouth, no one cares.
But is Hanoch the taste of the or
that's a Shaila the Gemara. I know it's good, I know it's made. But that's not relevant to his point. His point is, V'imkein, harei l'chayr l'shaykh l'aymer, shalakicha v'hagboa havi nami b'chal ha'aveira. Kiven da ha'aveira havi ha'no v'lea ma'isa. His point is, Rabbi Yisai, is that when it comes to machalos asuras, the isra is the pleasure going down your throat. How it gets there, no one cares. No one cares how it gets there. Right. Now, the problem with this is that's not 100% true, because we do know there's such a thing called a ma'is achila. If a person eats something shalai kederach achila, he might not be over. That's why a lot of people have a chumrah. They take medication. If they're masupik, if it's kosher, they put it in a tissue paper, and they swallow it. It's not dangerous.
So
don't
they choke.
No, you don't choke. It's very little. So this way, they're arguing that they're not doing it kederach achila. It's not the way people eat things. But the shayla is, who cares? If machalos asuris is not about derech achil, who cares? Okay, it's a kasha.
You also spoke about in halacha about you know caffeine suppositories.
Yeah. So if it's not derech achil, so he's assuming that we don't care about derech achil, we just care about enough. So his kasha is strong. Back to chaylev. Chaylev, presumably, we don't care how it gets down your throat. And once it gets down your throat, you're over. So what, how can it be a havamina, hagbot sarach achila? How can it be that the picking up has any connection to the issur? After all the Torah that we said, it's still shver. Why? Because it's not a processed-based issur. If the issur would be a process, it would be a ma'isa. So you could tell me that I start the ma'isa now, I finish the ma'isa here. But by machalos asuris, it's not about a ma'isa. Machalos asuris is just about the final result of it being in your throat. So who cares how you got there? So how could the Gemara even have a havamina that the picking up should be part of the issur? So he answers, he basically doesn't answer the question, in my humble opinion. He says, you see from the Gemara that the Gemara thought that should also have Kimlev Ramine. I think the Kasha is better than the answer. What was the Kasha? The Kasha was, by definition, Machalos Asuris are different. Because by Machalos Asuris, we don't even care about the Maisa Aveiru. We care about the final result of it going down your throat. Period, finished. So if that's true, who cares about how you got there? Exactly, the whole build up is kamat irrelevant.
But in all of areas, except the Shabbos, we don't care.
Fine.
Only
Shabbos. But that was the example the Gemara gave. Right. Okay, everybody, so Mr. Shem, next week we'll get into the Machlokes of Chaim and others.